Part 1. Warming up exercises. Note taking. Radio program reminders. You're going to hear two short radio program reminders. Listen carefully. Write down the programs you hear. You can abbreviate words in whatever way you like.
Thursday morning on VOA, Jim Fetter in Washington. We hope you'll be listening tonight to the Voice of America when the magazine show comes your way. It's hosted by Walter Guthrie. Because tonight, Walter will take you on a visit to the National Air and Space Museum and also on a trip up to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania for a bit of American history. The magazine show comes your way tonight right here on VOA. This next hour, which will start with the latest world news in special English, the developments from the Middle East, the developments from here in Washington, all the details just a half minute from now. And in the hour ahead, we'll have question time, getting the answers to one of your questions about life in the USA. This morning, we'll go behind the scenes, more or less, in American broadcasting operations. Economics editor Barry Wood has been traveling through the industrial Midwest of the USA. He'll be checking in with The View from that part of the country. We'll take a look at the newspapers. We'll listen to music. All after the news in special English.
You in the World Service of the BBC.
There's been a big increase in the number of visitors to Britain this summer. The latest figures for August show that nearly 2 million people came to Britain that month, 10% up on the previous August. Visits by Americans jumped by some 40%. The travel boom has meant a new record for the country's second biggest airport, Gatwick, south of London. It's now handling more than 12 million passengers a year.
Exercise 1. Use a few words to summarize the main idea of the news. Exercise 2. Record all the numbers you hear on the tape, and then supply relevant information about each number. News item 2.
Traffic restrictions on the Severn Bridge, which connects South Wales with Southwest England, were extended at midnight while a report on its safety is studied by the government. The Transport Minister, Mrs. Linda Chalker, announced restrictions after leaking of an engineer's report which said that the bridge's twin towers could collapse in high winds. Traffic on the bridge is now restricted to a single lane in each direction for 24 hours a day from Monday to Friday. Meanwhile, Welsh County Council leaders have called for an urgent meeting with government ministers to discuss the report.
Exercise 3. Summarize the news with the help of the question cues given. Exercise 4. Report the news to your friends.
Part 3.
Harvard University.
This Tuesday morning, we continue our series on higher education in the U.S. And it seems only appropriate that on this, the 20th anniversary of the death of President John F. Kennedy, we examine his alma mater, Harvard University. VOA's Barbara Schatzow tells us about this country's oldest institution of higher learning.
Harvard University is situated along the banks of the Charles River in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The university is now a sprawling complex of more than 400 buildings, housing classrooms, museums, laboratories, and libraries. Harvard's world-famous medical institutions are located across the river in Boston, the largest city in the New England region and a major American academic center. Harvard has educated 6 presidents of the United States, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, Rutherford Hayes, Theodore Roosevelt, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and John Kennedy. If its graduates have brought Harvard acclaim, so have its teachers. The Harvard faculty has produced 27 Nobel laureates and more than 20 winners of the prestigious Pulitzer Prize. Today, the university has more than 16,000 students and over 2,300 full-time faculty members. Harvard opened its doors to a mere 12 students in 1636. During its first half century, the college focused on educating men for the ministry, particularly the Congregational Church, a Protestant denomination. Professor Donald Fleming teaches history at Harvard. He is also an expert on the history of the university. Professor Fleming says, even in its earliest years, the college was not limited to preparing churchmen.
They made clear that they were training people for all of the professions. It's true that they didn't want to have an illiterate clergy, but they always thought that the graduates would go into the other professions, surely into medicine and law, as well as into the church.
During the 18th and 19th centuries, Harvard grew, both in size and reputation. The curriculum was broadened, especially in the sciences, and Harvard developed from an undergraduate college into a university. But Professor Fleming says the period of greatest expansion followed the election of Charles Eliot as president in 1869. Eliot is credited with transforming Harvard from a small college into a modern university during his 40 years of leadership. The student body tripled. The faculty grew from 49 to almost 300 members. Eliot also oversaw the growth of Harvard's endowment from $2 million to more than $22 million. Today, with a fund of more than $2 billion, Harvard is the most richly endowed single educational institution in the nation. The endowment enables the school to attract many of the country's best students by offering scholarships. Admission to Harvard is based on academic criteria without consideration of the student's economic situation. Once admitted, a student must demonstrate financial need. The school then supplies financial aid. Some students still receive scholarships for academic distinction, but Professor Fleming says that most scholarships are based on need.
I think Harvard puts more money into scholarships for students than any other American institution and has a better sociological mix, a higher proportion of people from low-income families than almost any other American university, precisely because they have the funds to support them, even though they don't have family funds at all.
Harvard is consistently ranked as one of the best schools in America and the world, and it is considered a leading international research institution. The university owes its reputation as a center for academic excellence to its professional and graduate schools, as well as to its undergraduate programs. The medical, law, business, and divinity schools are leaders in their fields, attracting top students from around the world. In Harvard history, the 1800s are viewed as years of physical growth and academic diversity. Professor Fleming believes one of the major achievements of the 20th century is the university's richly mixed student body. Beginning in the 1930s, Harvard made a conscious effort to recruit students from all over the United States, not just the eastern part of the nation. More recently, the university has pursued policies to increase the number of women and minority students on campus. A long tradition of modification and change continues, but the commitment to academic excellence remains at the heart of a Harvard education. I'm Barbara Shostak.
Exercises. Supply relevant information about Harvard University according to...